Matthew 28. And you know, there are different kinds of meetings that we must understand. The first thing I want to talk about very critically today is the importance of meetings. You know, we're in a very sensitive time where you have to have discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell the difference. A man by the name of Charles Spurgeon once said that discernment is not just knowing between right and wrong, it's also right and almost right. And sometimes you need to, and discernment is a function of consistent exercise. For example, Hebrews 5 and 12 says, the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, that which be the first principles of the oracles of God. It said, you are in need of milk and not strong meat. And he says that you have become babes, unskillful. Look at that word, unskillful in the word of righteousness. And he says strong meat belongs to them who are of full age or who are perfect or mature, who by the reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. So when it comes to discernment, discernment can't be what you used to know. It's a function of how you exercise yourself. How you exercise yourself. Now, and that's important. What you used to know, it's good to have reserve of knowledge, but you have to exercise yourself consistently and continually to have that kind of discernment. So we're in such a time where you need to have that sense of discernment, very strong discernment, where you are able to tell, you know, what is proper from what is nearly proper. And, you know, if you look at the concept of gatherings, and before I go into a few things I want to say, I'll just talk about that. The gathering of the saints is not an optional. It's not subject to how we want to, define it. You know, to how we want to define the gathering of the saints. And as we've studied, if you're following the series we have on Facebook and YouTube right now, on One Being Premier, we're teaching church in service. All things that I taught in there was to see the church from the root. Because sometimes when we pick up definitions from the epistles, not having the background of the Old Testament understanding of what is being said, we lose sight of it. And so church is a gathering, a physical gathering, such that the physical gathering of the saints in itself is worship to God. The physical gathering of the saints in itself. And a few things you know, let me just run them by you again. Look at all the letters. All the letters of the epistles were written to either an assembly or a person in the assembly concerning the assembly. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, of course that's directly to churches. Then when you start talking about books like, that's Paul's epistles now, 1st Timothy and 2nd Timothy, they are written to leaders of churches, Titus, leaders of churches. Hebrews is also to a church, because Hebrews 13 and 17 says that you should obey them that have the rule over you. And that is a direction to an assembly. Philemon is a leader in the church in Colossae. First and Second Peter, the introductions are clear. It even talks about the elders among you. First Peter 5 verse 1. Then you also have James. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. James 5, 13 and 14. You have John. John's epistles. John's epistles, whether you look at 2nd John and 3rd John. 3rd John, you're talking to Gaius in the church. It's in 2nd John, he's talking to the lady elect. Now go to Jude. Jude also is speaking to the church. An assembly. Of course, the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, seven churches in Asia. So, definitely, we must know that the gathering of the saints is not an option. It's not an option. It's not an option. And in the last few years, there's been, and someone rightly said to me years ago, and that at that time the social media had not been as, not become this strong. And he said to me, the church has to decide how it intends to use the social media or it will lose control. It will become subjective. And I saw exactly what the fellow said. The church has to decide. So the social media is such that I have friends in, let's say, Tokyo. I don't know them really. I may not even know how they look like, but they are my friends. I may not know much about them, but they are my friends. So that culture that's been birthed by technology is now being transported into the assembly of believers. Good enough. So in the last few years, we have faced that. And a believer must know how to weather the times. To weather the times. Paul saying to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, say, I charge you before Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ and his elect, who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing. He said, preach the word, be instant, this is our season. Verse 2, says the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. He said, rather, they'll heap up teachers after the lesson, because each in years, they'll turn away from the truth of God's word to fables. Now, the word sound is just typical of a healthy body. Now, explain what that means to you. You know, no matter how good your eyes are, if your ears aren't functioning well, you are not healthy. No matter how good your legs are, you can run so well, but you can't see where you are running to. Okay? Or your breathing is so excellent, but somehow, you know, you can't swallow too well. So no matter how good a part of your life is, if a part is shaky, you are not sound. So when you hear Paul talk about having sound elders, it means that it's not just one area that they are excelling. They excel in general. So sound doctrine means I'm not selective at what I want to believe, at what I want to act upon. He says, you preach the word, be instant, this is our season. So the soundness will mean that I embrace all of God's word. I don't get to this area and I begin to select. I love to preach. I also love to do the word. I love to walk in righteousness as a gift for me with our works. I also love to walk in the works of righteousness. So I must embrace all of God's word. I must embrace it. So we look at this concept of physical gathering of the saints. And you have people say, well, what matters is that the word is not. And over the years, doesn't really matter. I will come up and say, nope, that's not God's word. And I'm used to saying something, of course, it's not unique to me anyway. I'm used to say something and people think that this guy is weird, he's crazy. That this is extreme. And I'm saying, nope, that this is not church. And I said, oh, no. So you're just being a cake. People are quick to call you things like that. They're just being extreme. I said, no. Believers have to gather. They need not gather in cathedrals. They need not gather in thousands. They need not gather in millions. God wants us to gather in numbers, no doubt. But he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Jesus had church without crowd. And he also had church with crowd. And so, no, one can have an online church. And I said, there's nothing called an online church. It is an oxymoron. A very paradoxical, ironical, let me some grammar. Odd oxymoron. An opposite online church. You know, the gathering of the saints is so important. That where Paul will write a letter, he's going to write a letter to the church. Right? The letters are read in the gatherings. They are not handed over to individuals. Do you know something? And do you know, oftentimes in those letters, he's referring to individuals. Romans 16, he refers to individuals. Colossians 4, you know about Epaphras. It talks about Epaphras, who labors. Archippus. Yet, when he's writing concerning those individuals, it is read in the assembly of the saints. In Colossians chapter 4 and 16, he says the letter he wrote to them is requested to be read in the church in Laodicea. And the one in Laodicea, like-minded, should be read in Colossae, in the assembly of the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:27 said, let this be read amongst the saints. So in as much as he's communicating his word, it had to happen in the physical assembly of the saints. The apostles knew that so well. In Luke 24, when he says, I send the promise of my father upon you, verse 49, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now he says, tarry, you know, if you are to be there, you'll say, well, we're all in Jerusalem. Oh, you guys, you stay where? You stay at Banana Street. You stay at the Pineapple Street. You stay at Orange Street. Okay, guys, since it's at Jerusalem, let's just stay in our houses. And no, they came together. They knew all those instructions were assembly specific. So they were together, Acts 1, 14 and 15, in one accord, praying. Acts 2, 1. They were in one place, again, in one accord. Fact specific. When we read the entire book of Acts, church in the book of Acts is a physical gathering. So the believer must uphold this truth. In Hebrews 10, verse 25. The writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembly together of one another as the manner of some, which means you can develop an attitude of a lack of respect for the assembly of saints. You can have that attitude. Not for, it has the manner can develop such a culture. And today you have churches that are pandering to the whims of their members. Guys, how do you want church? You say, well, who prefers the online church? The online church. And everybody. You know, like I love to say, do you know how long, how difficult sometimes it is to get you? As I'm speaking, I can see some of you, your eyes are closing. I can see you. You're just doing like this. And you're just putting your pen on your... like you have not seen me before. To the online. You be on the Zoom. As you're on the Zoom, we see your name there. But your presence is not there. Your presence does not follow the Zoom. Your presence is in the toilet, in the kitchen. Once in a while, you just come there, glory. And then you walk away. I know how to do it. Some people are doing online prayer meetings. Our Lord woke them up how many times? In His presence, they were sleeping. Don't deceive yourself. The commitment, and I'm glad, because when some of us made this, raise this alarm, I now see some of those people are now saying it now. That no, the physical church is the real church. That you need to get up. Get up. That getting up is consecration. You know what? Somebody said that. And then so a friend of mine said, that guy must listen to you. I said, no, we all listen to the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that has probed everybody's heart. It's not me. Don't get that wrong. It's the voice of the Spirit. And any sincere person knows it. Because sometimes because they want the crowd. One of our churches, because of the country they are in, they were doing the Zoom church. They are watching me now. And their number just multiplied. Boom! It was growing. Daily the Lord was adding to them. I didn't say Jesus. And I said, it was good. I said, you are looking for trouble. The pastor was a sister. I said, you are looking for trouble. You now create a theology for your convenience. You create a theology for your convenience. I said, stop it. Me too. I like numbers, not the book of numbers. And they stopped. And their number went down. Four! I said, hey, you are now in the will of God. They are watching what I'm saying. You are now in the will of the Father. You get it? So, you know, you are here. You are here. You know, you are trying. You are trying. Yes, yes. Some of you will buy gum under that mask. You are chewing cord. You buy everyone. Particularly when we have that WCC. All sorts of things happen in that place. If we play the spiritual record of what goes on. Because the commitment. You see, when you remove commitment from Christianity, I start getting weary. What are you talking about? Christian living with no commitment? With no sacrifice? Where do you get it from? So, look at Acts 15. The letters were written never to replace the gatherings. In fact, the letters reinforce the gatherings. The letters. They reinforce the gatherings. Look at Acts 15. Hallelujah. Acts 15. This is a chapter where Paul and Barnabas were called to question over their doctrine among the Gentiles. So what did they go? Do. Verse 2. I'm just going to pick some very important portions. They should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. Verse 3. We're going to do this together. Verse 3. Let's go. And being brought in their way by the church. Stop there. By the church. Let's see the latter part. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So they came into assemblies. Let's take verse 4 again. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. Look at that consistency. Let me mention something. Do you notice Paul's pattern? When he enters a city, he goes first to where? Church. Synagogue is church. I know you have a problem with the one in Lagos. Synagogue is a physical place that is a mini temple that is a gathering of the Jews. He will go first to the church. So look at this. They again came to the church. Verse 6. Let's go. The apostles and elders. I'm waiting for you. Apostles and elders what? came together. They came together. Now, quickly. Verse 22. I'll start from 21. For most of old time, and in every city, them that preach him, being read where? In church, every Sabbath day. Look at verse 22. He pleased the apostles and elders, with the whole church. Verse 23. They wrote letters by them after this manner, apostles and elders and brethren, greet to the brethren, which are Gentiles in Antioch, and Syria, and Sicilia. Look at 25. Let's go. It seemed good unto us, being assembled, which means they didn't take decisions until they came together. They came together. Watch this. Look at verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had what? Gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. 31. Which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. So it was in churches. They got there and they read it in the assembly. Because the word read there, anaginosko, is not just reading out, it actually involves to explain the content. So the letters never took the place of the physical gathering. Somebody asked me, if Paul were to be here, would he have an online ministry? Oh yes. He will have an online ministry. But he will never have had an online church because he knows it doesn't exist. In the same place, pay attention, Paul and Barnabas, look at 36. Paul and Barnabas now decided, and look at the place of physical gathering, so critical. Some people came from Asia, Europe, as we call it now, and they came to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. They came together to celebrate Pentecost, and they came around the temple. They got saved, and Peter preached, and 3,000 of them. What now happened? They waited behind. And what did they do? Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed behind. That's the importance of physical assembly of the saints of God. Pay attention here. Now, Paul and Barnabas. Paul said to Barnabas, let us, verse 36, go up again and visit our brethren in every city which we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. That's follow up, right? Now, of course you know what happened between them. They had disagreements. But notice what they meant. Look at verse 40. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. Let's take 41 together. And he went through confirming the churches. Confirming the assemblies. So the physical assembly is part and parcel of our worship of God. Now, let's tidy up some things before I get to my subject tonight. When we say physical assembly, now look at this assembly now. There are different kinds of assemblies that we have. Different kinds of assemblies. Well, let's call it different kinds of church meetings. Church meetings. Different kinds of church meetings. Kenneth Hagin took us through that in his book, Plans, Poles, and Pursuits, where he explained that what is the purpose of this meeting? Sometimes people invite me to preach and I ask them, what is the purpose of that meeting? They say, it's a convention, sir. I said, I saw it. What is the purpose? Just a convention. where we just be, if brethren will come, and if, what is the purpose of that gathering? You don't know it. So we do have different kinds of meetings. And what determines the meetings are those who are there. Who are the people there? There are different kinds of meetings. Different kinds of meetings. You know some of them. We call them the prayer meetings where we come to pray. We have the teaching meetings where we come to hear the words, the primary meeting we have. We have the, what we call the Holy Ghost meetings where we give room for the utterances, revelations. As Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 14:26. We have healing services. Okay? Different kinds of meetings like that. Listen carefully now. There are also special meetings that you also must not forsake. You say, well, that you mustn't forsake. One, two, or maybe that's the second one, that you must know the purpose of those meetings. Now, Mark's gospel tells us in chapter 1 that Jesus Christ went everywhere preaching. Mark's gospel 1. He goes everywhere, he's preaching. Verse 15. He's preaching. Verse 14. He came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So he's preaching everywhere. He's preaching, right? Everywhere. Matthew 4:24. He's preaching in every city and synagogue. Matthew 9:35. Matthew 5:1-2. And such meetings, it's open to all. Everybody came. The sick, the diseased, the infirm. You'll find Pharisees there. You'll find Sadducees there. You'll find all sorts of people. So those, that's a general church service. Everybody comes. They're coming. That's why Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 24 and 25, if you speak with tongues and the unbelievers should come in. Which means that our typical Sunday services, Wednesday services, I hope so, everybody comes in. The unbeliever can come in. The believers of different sorts, because some unlearned, they'll be there. General meetings. So Jesus had all those kind of meetings. He'll just go from place to place, he'll preach, heal the sick, and teach. So the multitude were found in such meetings. He'll do the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and teach them. Morning till night. Great meetings. But along the line, pay attention now. He now calls, Matthew 1:17-19, he calls Peter, his brothers, Matthew 4:19, say, follow me. He didn't call everybody, follow me. Say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Notice that the motive of this one is different. I will make you fishers of men. Now, Mark's Gospel 3:14 says, he called the 12. Listen now. So that they might be with him and preach the gospel. They might be with him and preach the gospel. So, amongst the multitude, he now had those that he said, come, follow me. So you'll find a different settings amongst the multitude. You have those that are now called his disciples. Sometimes we don't have their numbers. But by the record of Paul, there could be 400. His disciples. You don't know their number. But that means, who are those disciples? Sometimes we get to know their names. in Luke's Gospel 10, 38 and 39, he went to the house of, pay attention now, he went to the house of Martha. Now, when he goes to the house of Martha, did you find the multitudes there? No. That becomes a special meeting. And what happens? We now find Mary sitting at his feet. Which we, you know what that means. Acts 22 verse 3, it means that Paul says, said I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. To sit at the feet means you are being trained. You are now under his authority. You are now under his tutorship. You are now under his training to sit at his feet. In Luke 8:35, we had someone like that, a man who was, who was out of his mind, and Jesus cast out demons from him, the madman of God, who had demons come out of him going to animals. Now after a while, people came around to check on him. That must have taken a long time because the whole city got to know about it. And that takes a long time. So they came and found him also sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. He now had, Lord Jesus Christ, he now had a sound mind. And that was sound mind. Sophroneo in the Greek has to do with someone that can comprehend God's word. So we had those meetings. That the meetings for his students, his disciples, they were not the general meetings, for his students. We have some names. We have those who attend the meetings, for example, like someone like Joseph Arimathea, Matthew 27:57, who was called a disciple. Notice that they always separated the multitudes from the disciples. The multitude. Who's the disciple? The disciple is there not just to hear, he's learning to be trained. So we had the disciples. We don't know the number. In John 6, we learned that some stopped following him. Doesn't mean they didn't come back again, but they stopped following him. John 6:67-68. Where some stopped following him. So the disciples were following him. And so they had their own meetings that were not general. So when you have the instruction, not forsaking the assembly together one another, you ask yourself, am I in the general audience? Or am I now a student learning? So which means the meetings I must not forsake now get to increase. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Now, in that number, in Luke 10, don't forget, he now calls the 70. The 70. He sends them out. The 70. They now had the 12. Luke 9. The 12. Now, before he chose the 70, He had a man come to him, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Notice that I want to follow you is never I want to hear you preach. I love your ministry. I want to follow you. He said, birds have nests. Foxes have holes. Luke 9:58. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another guy came and says, well, I will follow you, but I want to go bury my father. Notice that this is out of the crowd. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the gospel. So following him equates what? Preaching the gospel. Just like Mark 3:14. He called them unto him to be with him, yeah, and to preach the gospel. The other guy said, I will follow you. I want to tell my parents. He said, if you put your hands on the plow and you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom. So chapter 10, he now chose 70 and sent them out to preach. So we have different kinds of congregation. So you must know which is what. What is which? Pardon my grammar. So you have, let's take it again. You have the mixed multitude, where you have Pharisees, the Sadducees, different kinds of people. You have those who came to him. They are not against him. They want to get healed. They want to receive miracles. They want to hear him preach. You have that number, that group. Then you have those who sat at his feet. Do not forget, I said just now, discernment is the ability to know the difference. Those who sat at his feet. Knowledge is called the proper facts. Knowledge is the proper facts. Knowledge is proper facts. Understanding is the proper facts in context. The proper facts in their context. For example, someone says, I want to eat pepper. And then you take raw pepper and then you put it on this plate. It looks at you. I thought you said I want to eat pepper. No. It simply means I want to eat something that is peppery. Okay, so you understand it. So you now take the pepper. They said, let me put the pepper in the rice. You don't cook it. Just boil it. Now, of course, if you're in the boarding house, that used to happen. You know this kind of pepper that you used to grind? No, I think, they call it, I think, ingredients or something for concussion. You know concussion? You know there's concussion, there's concocky. I ate all those things. Concussion, you just have the rice. Then we have something we used to call soglo. In government college. Soglo. Soglo is prepared without the regular stove. Do you know about batcha stove? Well, I'd left school then though. We have batcha stove. But soglo is prepared specially such that you are eating it as you are cooking it. That is soglo. You don't prepare it, then eat it. That is no longer soglo. That is concussion. Soglo is live offering. So we add this ingredient, they put in nylon bag, stuff like that. You put it inside. Then the thing just becomes jollof rice, made in GCI. So the guy says, put it in my rice. Then you just take raw pepper and pour it there. And the guy takes it. And he begins to crush you. Because you ought to contextualize the word pepper. So you have to contextualize it. Then the contextual facts, when they are now applied properly, is wisdom. So you must know the context. Who is here in this gathering? So you have the 12. Now the 12 had their own purpose. Now from the 12, we now had the 3. The 3. From the 3, we now had 1. Peter. See it now? We have the general, mixed multitude. We have those who came to hear the word. 2. We have those who are his disciples, who are sitting at his feet. 3. We have those 70 that he picked out of those who are sitting at his feet. Then we had the 12. Then we had the 3, Peter, James, and John, that he took to the mountain apart to pray. On 2 occasions, we saw him do that for them. Then we now had Peter. In the case of Peter, there are things he said to Peter that by identification we walk in it, but he was talking to Peter. So I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He was referring to Peter. Of course, to the body of Christ, by identification we know. Because later on in John 21, he says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than this? Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. When he rose from the dead, he asked to speak to Peter. And Jesus saw Peter different from the rest. Such that, when the account of the gospel is being said, John, 1 Corinthians 15:5, how Christ died, He was buried, raised again the third day, according to the scriptures, died for our sins, was buried, raised again from the dead, according to the scriptures, the third day. And he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. Now, he was part of the 12, but seen of Peter, then the 12. So, his appearance to Peter was distinguished. He said, go and tell my brethren and Peter. If I, in Luke 24, Luke says he had been seen. Luke 24, that should be verse 34 also. He says, the Lord is risen and he had appeared to Simon. He had appeared to Simon. So, notice that he's what he does for everybody. Then for those who came to hear the word. Then for those who came to be trained. Then for the 70 that obviously they have received the training. Then for the 12. Then the 3. Then Peter. So, what distinguishes each assembly is responsibility. So we can have gathering based on responsibility. For example, look at this meeting today. This meeting has responsibility on it. So whatever we are saying will follow the purpose of this meeting. It has responsibility. So as that number changes, it's changing based on responsibility. If you go to the book of Acts, you will see Peter, James, and John stand out. Peter and John, Acts 3. James, who was killed, Acts 12. He's killed. Then Peter hands over the church. Acts 5. He hands over the church. Acts 4, sorry. He hands over the church to James, the Lord's brother. So, they're individuals. There's a gathering of responsibility. Pay very good attention to this. Such that when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't appear to everybody. He appeared to the ones he had chosen. Acts 1, 2 to 3 says, the apostle whom we had chosen. Well, Peter was going to relate to that, Acts 10. Verse 40 and 41. He said, he didn't appear to many, but to some. Paul says there were 400. It depends on the account. We have Cleopas and all that, but I want you to pay attention to something. He appeared to them, because of their responsibility. And he said to them, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till be endued power from on high. Did you notice that? Look up, let me say something. Did you notice that those folks were with Jesus for 40 days? He's teaching them for 40 days. And they didn't go to town to tell anybody they had been raised from the dead. They didn't go to town. They understood the enormity of the responsibility that was in their care. They knew it. Because one of the attributes of a man and woman, or woman, whom God will entrust his mandate with, people that have discretion. Like Joseph. I've showed you that before. Joseph was a guy who had discretion. He didn't open his mouth to talk to anybody. He wasn't wanted to put away, Mary called him and said, honey, he's still smiling, say, I'm pregnant. Huh? And he says, but let me explain. It's the Holy Ghost. You hear, you won't believe it. He was upset. But he didn't just, you know, how do you say it in Yoruba now? He didn't just, you know, scatter his body. They began to call everybody and talk anyhow, maybe in today's language, you just, in this way, you just go on social media and post it. Imagine, you've been going out with a girl, you want to marry her, see what she said. You will say, you put your name, but they know who you are talking about. You go and send the tweet. He wanted to put her away discreetly. Imagine if he had told a friend, who told another friend, who told somebody, the angel would never have come to him. Because that means the angel is going to go around and say, did he tell you? Okay, let me explain. You know the scriptures. He's discreet. Mary herself is discreet. She goes to Elizabeth. Discreet people. They go to the temple. They are circumcising Jesus. They are still not talking. Simeon knew who the person was. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, knew. But he spoke it in discreet terms. Until the wise men went to Herod, nobody knew what was happening. So, you must handle spiritual responsibility with discretion. Are you there? One of the things that I said about a bishop is he mustn't be a careless talker. Are you following what I'm saying? So, let's remind ourselves now. Let's go back to this. So Jesus, now let me ask you, is it possible for you to have been in that gathering for 40 days, brothers and sisters, 40 days, and you did not share it with your cousin? You didn't think it was necessary. You say, boys, guys, but it's between us, Jesus don't come. Which Jesus? The one they kill. Look at you. We have been having series of teachings. Cell leader stream. I don't want to, you know, please be careful. I'll just share with you some of the things that he was sharing with us. He kept quiet. They obeyed him. Said, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. They were in the upper room. They were praying. They were gathering. No matter that number. And they had sense. Or they put it on their Facebook. Or, if it were possible, as Jesus was teaching, they bring out their phone. No, just for my personal consumption. Then one day they are making a music on TikTok. Oh, Jesus, selfie. No. They knew these are things that are grave. And they held it in discretion. They were smart. Smart people. You know, Paul, I'm coming to this in a moment. Paul was literally chased out of Ephesus, Acts 19. He had to run by night and escaped. So when he called for the elders in Acts 2017, you know, he didn't stay long. Some people have gone on their Facebook, going for a meeting with Paul. It's going to be bloody, man. It's going to be power-packed. Intense power of God is going to move. That didn't happen. They had sense. So sometimes some of us don't know the kind of responsibility that are in our care. Someone shares with you, your member, a member of your fellowship, shares something with you. You go home, you share with your husband. Why? Why? You share with your wife. Why? What's the reason? Say we are one flesh. No, we one God. Share with your friends. No. You are not fit to hold that position of honor. These guys had sense. They knew the importance of those meetings. The things that were shared there. They knew some things are not meant to be said now. So do not forget, each meeting is distinguished by responsibility. The kind of responsibility that is given distinguishes the kind of meetings. So when you get to the book of Acts, you had the general meetings as well. Everybody came together, Acts 2, Acts 3, 4, and all that. Acts 6. But in Acts 8, when the church was persecuted, the apostles stayed behind. See the difference? Responsibility. Acts 8, 1 to 3. They stayed behind. In Acts 15, when they were going to determine what to do with Paul and Barnabas, the meeting also was a special meeting. In Acts 20, Paul called for the elders. It's not everybody that came for the meeting. So there are different kinds of meetings. A meeting like this, when you attend it, you don't start sleeping. It means you have lost the sense of who you are. In a meeting like this, you concentrate. You know that this is a very important meeting. And the way and manner that you receive it will show in your ministry. The way and manner. Hallelujah. The way and manner with which you receive it. So, know the importance of meetings like this. Don't fall into the trap of those who are profane. You know, profane, you have Esau, a profane man that said, what is birthright to me? What is he going to do for me? What is he going to do for me? And there are people like that, their pastor will call them, brother, sister, of course, reasonably, we're going to meet on Tuesday. And we're going to pray. We want to pray for our city. But we have already done prayer group. That means you don't know who you are. You are not in the prayer group. Hallelujah. You are not in that group. That's why when some of us, we begin to compare ourselves with people. With people that don't have our responsibility. Say, let us meet and pray. But at your office, right? Where do you work? Your MD sends an email. Says, all senior management, we have to have a meeting. You stay behind when everybody goes. And we're going to see by 9 o'clock. You say, you must be ready for another job. You have to be there. Some of you go for management retreats, right? Right? And you leave town. And you go to different places. You have management meetings. Hours. You are there. 8 hours. Sometimes 10 hours. You don't say, it's too long. Or they say, do you have suggestions about this company? You now open your mouth. I think the MD talks too much. Yeah. I think they waste our time on Monday management meetings. Yeah. They'll be taking down your suggestions. Do you get it? Because you're a fool. When they gave you car, and they gave you salary, and you were thanking the Lord, you think they are sowing into your ministry? No. They are paying you for your services. So the amount of money is meant to buy your time. Is that clear? But you don't live for money. Is that clear? So your commitment to Christ right, is such that it also takes your time. It takes your time. I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, I have a vigil. He said, I noticed that you were awake. I said, yes. He said, but you have been tired, your trips, your preaching. I said, what has to be done has to be done. It is what it is. I can give you excuses and you like what I'm saying because you understand. But there's somebody that will not understand. And so I said, no, it has to be done. So there are different meetings like that. You must know it. You don't say, well, this is not normal church service. It's just Pastor Lan calling us. You are developing a bad attitude. A bad attitude. A very wrong one. Because to whom much is given, much is required of. If I say every Sunday, we must be having cell leaders training, and when we are all leaving, we'll go with $1,000. Why every Sunday? Supposed to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. I suggest, sir, twice a day to stir us up to greater works. I suggest we do twice a day to stir us up to greater things for the Lord. Because there's something attached to it. There was someone like that who was very fervent in the church. Very fervent. So I noticed that fervency dropped. Very fervent, sister. Very, very fervent. Very noticeable. I won't tell you which church. Let's start looking around. And I said, what happened? And he said, I was just not... He took a while before she opened up. I don't know why you are opening up, whether you are in Revelation. And he opened up and said, a brother that they had been having relationships that broke her heart. So that's why you don't attend the prayer meetings. Not really. I just wanted to recover. When I recover, sir, I will come back. To what? To what? To where? Let me just be coming to the church service for now. She stopped attending the prayer meetings then. I said, because of a brother. So it meant that the reason why she was fervent was because she was getting something from the church, a brother. So the brother said, I'm not doing it again. And she said, sir, can you help me talk to him about what? That I should do. No. I cannot do that. The ones I've done in my life are enough. God sees my heart. I've done enough. Whatever you want to do, do quickly. I cannot do that. And the lady stopped coming. I'm sure she'll get another place where she'll find a man that will stay. She will also stay. Everybody knows why they are doing what they are doing. God knows everything. So, there are meetings like this. They are special meetings. You must know, Workers' Convention is not a general meeting. World Changers Conference, what's it for? Who and who are here today? You have your different zones and churches where you have your workers' meetings and your pastors call you. And Jesus made sure that he had those meetings regularly. He took Peter, James, and John when they were at night to pray. He didn't pray with them in the morning. It was night. Night where you are supposed to sleep. And those guys really slept. Consistent. They were consistent about the way they slept. And he went there to wake them up. So that you know that sleep was not their problem. when they were found fishing in John 21, it was also at night. And they were alert. They were alert to catch the fish. They didn't go like this. Then the net went on the sand. They cast the net to the side. He asked them to cast it. That means you can actually stay awake. Hallelujah. Imagine if you're saying you're feeling sleepy. You're so tired. And you're, go! Go! In your estate. The strength of Elijah will come on you. You say, I'm tired. Or you are rushing to go and sleep. I don't know. You are so tired. You are so, or you want to, you are even pressed. Then as you cut on to one corner, you see one. Like a werewolf. The wee-wee will go back inside your kidney. And there will be no disease. Remember one time that me and one of my classmates was the last week of the term. So that last week, usually, we go and keep our provisions to eat it. So when the seniors knew, so we now kept our provision in the rock. We've done strange things in this life. We kept provision in the rock. You know, rock, my rock and my fortress. So we go and take the rock, the thing, we eat it. So one day, because we were so selfish and greedy, that we now had so much milk, sugar, so we decided, and we're going home the next day. So we decided to finish everything at once. That's how we kept going to the toilet. Two of us. And the toilet wasn't a regular toilet, we call it Bowland. Now we used to have, Bowland is where, you know, some of you call it short put, where you become an Olympian. So it was at night. And we were very, we were so pressed. So we ran. So we took torchlight. So I was the one that had the torchlight. So you usually take you know what I'm talking about. So I took the torchlight. So I saw something coming. We were both pressed. The eyes were changing. I told my friend, I think we got a werewolf here. We ran to the hostels and we did not pee or poo on ourselves. The thing just disappeared till the next morning. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Life is about what is really pursuing you and what you are pursuing. You are only dozing because you want to. You want to quickly go and do the restroom because you want to. If you have something that motivates you to do the right things, you will. I went to a place to pray years ago. And then the man, we were already there, so they took us to this place. Of course, the place had a hostel, but they had locked it. They said, if you want to pray, so they shut the hostels and say, go to the mountain to pray. So the man said, he's in Yoruba, he said it. He said, before you start, let me tell you, there are scorpions here and snakes. Make sure you don't doze. I said, hey? He said, yeah, so. So we see them every time. In fact, I'm surprised you have not seen them. So you're praying and you're watching and praying. So you're not watching and praying. You know what I'm saying? It's 2 a.m. I'm tired. Tired? He goes, thank you, Lord. I'm committed to your will. I'm committed to your purpose. Because you can't go back. And you can't say you want to sit down and pray. Scorpion. I never returned there again. Not because I didn't want, I wanted to sleep, but I just felt, Let me pray if I want to pray. Which one is scorpion and snake? To be able to pray. But the point was that everybody was alert. Nobody woke anybody up. And then you see people come in here and say, encouraging you because they know if you try, don't to close your eyes. Yet, even mosquito, you were almost afraid that, is it a mosquito? I hope it's not something else. Is it mosquito that beats me? Oh God. Hallelujah. So there are different kinds of meetings. You take them seriously. Do you know what Jesus said to Peter? We don't know. Discretion. But we saw the fruit of those meetings in their lives. Look at the kind of commitment, unalloyed dedication that they had in the book of Acts. They were willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, just making mouth without conviction means nothing. Many people talk. Though words are powerful, don't forget, you must speak the word of God before you act on it. But don't speak ordinary words. Speak words out of persuasion. I was going to say this. Peter was so important. Jesus said, Simon Peter, Satan sent me an email. He said he's going to deceive you. Peter said, never. I know who I am. Peter said, no. He said, I am supernatural. He said, okay, I've heard you. I prayed for you. So that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. So it means that in a meeting like this, you are here for people. You are here for people. You are here for the nations of the earth. You are here for millions untold. You take it seriously. Praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. You are here for a reason. You take it seriously. Your job should be clear to you. Thank God for encouragement. Thank God for your pastors, your leaders, who will encourage you to serve the Lord. It's good to have encouragement. But you see, if you are going to always wait for people to tell you who you are, then one day you will not take their instructions anymore. By now, you should know who you are. We give you instructions because of who you are. I was talking to somebody earlier today. I said, if you were not a pastor, something happened, so I told him, I said, I wouldn't have said what I'm about to say. I said, because you are a pastor, I have to say this one. To whom much is given, much is required. So when you are thinking that your pastor is harsh on you, no, he's not harsh on you. It's because of who you are. You are a leader of people. You are responsible for others. Look at the medical school. I mean, I use that example because of the intense nature of what they do. Because they know they deal with human lives. They have a longer time to study. If you're in America, you must have your first degree before you are enlisted. In many nations, they have to do qualification exams for you, sometimes into years. Because they know you are handling life delicately. One day they're going to ask you to open up people's body parts so you will forget can't do inside it. So you will not take the liver and put it where the brain is. Hopefully, I know that is impossible. So you must know which is what. You must not guess. You see, this looks like, this must be, Then they say you should go and operate the stomach. And you take the surgical blade to the heart. You pass the tube. And the guy dies. You have to question your certificate. Because you wonder, how did you do that? So the intense nature. You don't say, why are lectures this difficult? Why can't you be like, this is no disrespect to anybody. But why can't you do like those who are studying theater arts? No, you can't. Because of theater arts is also good, don't forget. I'm not saying it's not. But because of what you are meant to do, your lectures are more The books you're going to read will be more. Length of years. More. They take you through the internship, the call, the housemanship, to be sure you are who you say you are. That is the same with the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone once saw a video of those in the military, they are training. He said, this is harsh. I said, harsh? And I asked him a question. Can you hire me to be your security? He said, I don't understand. Let me say it again. Look at me very well. Can you hire me? I will pray for you to be your security. If I ask, I'll go and pray for you. So, they have to be tough. You want to hold your security. And then, the door hits his hand and he's crying. Oh, what happened? Officer, what do you mean me? And he's crying. I say, go and look for somebody else. Did you get it? Because it's the nature of the job. Intense. Intense. Because of what you are going to do. You can't exercise fear. I asked one of my church I used to pastor then, and you know, one of the guys was a pilot. So I said, how do you guys do? He said, no, he said, life of a pilot is like that. He said, they've trained us. He said, eh? So you are, he said, one of the things that make you to conquer fear. Because you know height. Conquer fear. And people are going to put their trust in you. You say, don't worry, guys. I say, thank you, Lord. Because the pilot said so. So the training. That is why it is what it is. You don't expect to be like those in the General Assembly. You just come to church when you like. Hey. Say, have a good time. When you get to leadership, you stop having good time in the service. You start having correction, instruction, direction. Shaping and transforming your life. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's what is going on. You cannot be trained with the others. Because your job is to train the others. You are making disciples. You are making disciples. So I'll begin on that today. And I believe next week when we have the Workers' Congress, I would take it up on a higher notch. So that we'll have it next week or the week after, but one of the 2 days, that is Sunday. There was a reason why I chose next week, but that reason has changed. I'll let you know. So, what exactly are you doing? What exactly are you doing? Can you answer that question? What exactly are you doing? You're a pastor. You're a fellowship coordinator. You're a cell leader. What exactly are you doing? You know, let me get back to what I said earlier. If Pastor Jakes wants you to do something now, you can feel he's forcing you. He's forcing you. Remember when I was taken to a prayer meeting, they didn't inform me that prayer meeting was going to be like a policeman camp. I prayed long before. We do vigils. But our own was, after like a few hours, we take a break and we'll go. We'll take a break. We may not do it 3 times a day. But this one, it was like eternal life. So I was already complaining at me. They did not tell me. If they told me, I'll have been prepared. What's the difference? You will still be the lazy you. I said, no. So I just got something that I was supposed to do. It did not come to you like a revelation. So I went to, in the prayer meeting, the prayer meeting was going on. And I went to the pastor. He's my friend on Facebook now, called Father Nash. So I told him, I said, you know, I forgot to tell you. I'm supposed to. You know, I said, sorry. Were you able to come back? I said, I will try. You know, that means I'm not coming. I'll say, I will try. So I told myself, yes, no, they didn't tell me. They told me. And I waited, what is in praying? But they did not tell me. It was a year calling. Youth camp. So as I was going, and I asked the question, is this thing for them or for me? Do they have to make me pray? You know, and thank God the thing was far to the gate. Enough to repent. One time like that, we had a camp at Kring. One lady like that, Kofo is the name. She said, Onohika, you guys, you chose this venue for a purpose. One cannot live except he's not a Christian. That place to walk to the venue was about 3 hours. So if you are trying to go back, we didn't tell anybody. Just say, drop at the gate and look for the venue. So you just be coming. By the time you are there, you'll have been filled with purpose. So if you want to leave, so she now said, it's not possible, Shekun. If you guys, you know that we will not leave. Because if you want to go, after walking one, number one, there is no cab. There is no bike. You'll have to walk. So, by the time you walk 1 hour, if you are a real Christian, road to Emmaus is not that long. You'll turn back. So by the time I got to the meeting, I said, what in the world am I going to do? Interestingly, I was going to preach. I had fellowship. So I said, I didn't tell those ones I was coming, but I said I had to go. Nobody is going to kill me here. But I stayed. Do you know the thing? When I now traveled back to Lagos to hold a meeting with the flock, it changed their lives. So you don't need anybody. They say, go out evangelism. Make sure you follow up 20 people a week. Say, 20? Saturnia, why not 10? Why are you asking her? Don't you want to do it? Say, but Saturnia, please. I'm just thinking, can I make my own 2? That means you don't know who you are. To whom much is given. Much is required of. There's a training of the Spirit. You cannot fake it. You can't. Those who are not solid, any little test in life, you will see a change in their lives. Look at the parables Jesus gave in Matthew 7. Very powerful one. All his parables are powerful. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who heard the word of God, heard these sayings, and he does them. And the one that doesn't do it. Now he said, it's likened to a man who builds his house upon the sand. One builds upon the rock. Now something remarkable is that both of them built it. It could be church, ministry, fellowship center, cell. You are only a pastor because it's convenient. You have time. You are a cell leader because you are not yet married. You yet don't have children. Or your work tolerates it. He says, they both built the houses. Why? Because they both heard it. They were both in the same convention. They were both in the same meetings. He said, but the winds will come. The floods. He said, one, great was the fall. Because it was built upon the sand. The other one, he said, it was not shaken. Little disappointments, it will affect your message. Little problem, it will affect anything you are doing. It will be clear. So, what kind of leader are you? What kind of leader? One of you, and this happens a lot, came to me for a counsel, and I said, you know the answer. If a member of your fellowship should ask you this question, what would you have said? I'll have said this. Go and do likewise. I told the member of our church, I'm going to mention the name. She sang a song. Interestingly, that's a song you said you did not know. So I said, because where we had the meetings over the week, they kept singing that song. So I said, come. I said, you sang this song for us. Because you were talking about our schedule. Busy. It's what I do, sir. I said, wait. Look at that song. I give my heart to you. You said there will be no distractions. You will not be busy. You said it to us. I said, let me now tell you something. What you said to us changed our lives. We heard those songs. We cried. We prayed. It has changed us. Go and hear your songs. Go and hear it. Those of you who sing, you are a pastor with music. In all the earth. Which means that your church must grow. Let there be light. Is that not what you told us? Shining all the nations. That means you have to keep planting. You sang it. I have stepped into your word. You gave your very, that means, so when you told us you gave your very best, it means you have no excuses. You said it. Eat what you cooked. You lead, I will follow. You speak, and I'll hear. Oh yeah, feed it. Eat it now. Because I know you are not a signboard. Said that song has changed our lives. There's nobody here under the sound of my voice. Look up. Do you know that there are people today, I'm talking to all of you. The reason why they are serving Jesus is because of you. It is you. So, that means you know enough to serve Jesus. Feed on it. Feed on it. Feed on what you are dishing out. Feed on it. What kind of material are you made of? Because what is discipleship? Let me explain discipleship for you in a simple term. Now, don't forget, in Matthew 4:19, it says, come, follow me. The Greek is the word dios. It means come up. It means to call out of something. Now, that word, and it's used in Matthew 11:28 and 29. Come unto me all in that labor. Now, it's such a command. Let me tell you the import. The person will drop everything he is doing and trust your direction. Everything he's doing. And trust your direction. And follow you. So let me tell you something. Look at me, everybody. Everything about you matters. Everything about you matters. So let me define discipleship for you. It means, write it down, to invest in your personality. To make rich and qualitative investments into your personality. To make rich and qualitative event, which means, Shagun, you cannot remain the same. You are investing into your personality, resources, of prayer, consecration. Discipleship starts with you. You know, before Jesus taught others, we found him seated, verse 46 and 47, Luke 2. He sat among the doctors of the law. He was listening to them. He became a child. If you are going to raise children, you have to be a child too. He sat down. This is God. God became what he wanted us to become. He became what he wanted us to become. He invested into it. You saw that his obedience, when his parents spoke, he followed them. He obeyed. So he knew how to function under authority. So that Pilate said, there's nothing this guy has done. Herod said, I can't see anything he has done. He had invested obedience. He knew how to obey in simple things. You invest into your personality. So what kind of investments are you making into your life? What kind of investments are you making into your life? What kind of investments? You see people today, look at a man like Bill Gates in the natural. He left Harvard University because he had an idea he felt could rule the world. But it took him years. Hours. Just like this guy that had Facebook. Years. Putting things together. This is in the natural. Investing. It's like a student going for an examination. He has to, because what you put in is what's going to come out. Investing. So are you making the right investments into your life? Prayer. Jesus invested prayer. Obedience. The study of the word. Character. Character. So you watch the kind of things that you are exposing yourself to. They will now say something on CNN. You say, hey. The way you will respond. Someone will say, ah. Did you not attend UNILAG? Say, no. What does that affect? Say, ah. You don't know this. There was one lady like that. Very pretty. So, a Nigerian person, I don't want to mention him, on television. Very pretty, very pretty. And I really like this actress. So they interviewed her and said, what do you have to say about the constitutional conference? I don't want to say so much because it may be quoted. My dad was in the sitting room. My brother was there. No, my brother wasn't there. I'm not sure. Somebody else was there. And as he spoke, we all looked at ourselves. Ah! So, and he's a very good actress. I said, ah! She just could not get to that capacity. And somebody else will have that one in the house called wife. Your friends come and you say, please don't say anything. When they come in, just serve them food and go to your room. Don't engage them in. Did you get it? You know, you go for a wife, all you are looking for is hip. heap of nonsense. Nothing upstairs, just heap. Are you going to eat it? You want to do business. You say 10,000 plus 40,000. She says 2,000. What did you bring to the We're talking about spiritual things. Say, only let us pray and be led. Say, I have to see my mother. She has one prophet in our town. You see what you married? And you are done for. You can't divorce on that level. You can't say, I'm walking away. You cannot separate. Whatever God has joined together. God has joined intellectual. He has broken down the wall of division. Imagine what your kind of children. You can't ask her to train the children. Just give them food. Yes. When you see a woman, or even a man, Monday to night watching Nollywood, when it's time to discuss issues, serious matters, they just say, you and your friends are going to have a nice deliberation. I'm going to sleep. You know the reason? You have nothing to say. But when they say, did you watch Irikeredo? Let me tell you, last week's series. As he took the calabash, just say, yeah, that's all you can talk about. So, these things are contagious. That's very important. Is that clear? So what kind of investment? You want to build a big business. What investments are you making into your life? Anything they say is working. That's how you want to go and do MMM. Because you can't do forecasts. You don't know what's called business plan. They just say, if I bring 100,000, they'll give me 80,000. To do what? They just say, if I bring it, I'll go and bring it. What are they doing? You don't know. They just say, just bring it. Bring it. You are wise. Because you know that if you till the ground and put money, it will not come back in multiples. So it's exchanged with ideas. Bring it, I'll multiply it. Then you are here, not you. Accusing people doing Yahoo Plus. What is the difference? You are the same. You all want to multiply. Right? It's just the access that is different. What investments are you making? I want to build this. What investments are you making into your life? So the exams will now come. If you're a student, you'll now be looking for what is the AOC. It's not just AOC. It's Commander-in-Chief. So the same in the ministry. What investments are you making into your life on a daily basis? What are you investing? Don't forget, we said discipleship is to invest in your personality. Watch this. So that you now invest it into others. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is your personality worth an investment? The reason why you are building yourself is because you are going to build others. And I'm not talking about just preaching. I'm talking about your life. Your lifestyle. You! Are you worth an investment into other people's lives? Because Jesus reproduced himself. Would you want us to reproduce you? Would you want us to reproduce your prayer life in numbers? Your life of study, your life of devotion, your life of purity and consecration. Would you want us to reproduce you? That's why when some of you started saying, you were coming to services late, saying you went to go and get your disciples. I told you that what you are doing, you are reproducing yourself. You are teaching that disciple that there's no big deal, just get to church anytime. What kind of investment are you making that you feel, you believe it's worth investing to others? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 and 8. Are you there? Are you there, please? 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, I'm going to start from verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but we were allowed of God. Say, I'm allowed of God. It means it's God's grace. To be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts. Let's take 5 together. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. We are not trying to get something from you. We are not taking advantage of the flock materially, emotionally, sexually, for glory. No. He says, God is witness. Look at 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, that we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. We are not demanding honor, we are commanding it. When you are a good example, honor will follow. Not that you are a bad example, not what you have to, you are not working in honor. No. Honor is not a shield to do and undo. Honor follows good examples. He said we are not burdensome. As the apostles of Christ, look at 7. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Let's take verse 8 together. It says, so being affectionate desires of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. Some say only. But our own souls, because you are dear unto us. Do you love those under your care? If you love them, your conduct will be measured because of them. You are dear to us. We love you. We are not living right because of salvation. We are saved by grace without works. We are living right because of you. We are not burdensome. We are imparting to you our lives. Verse 9 says, for you remember, brethren, our labor night and day, for labor night and day, because we will not be chargeable to any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. Look at verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily, justly, unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So what have they have done? They have invested in their lives. So their lives now become an investment into others. Into others. Into others. So, what is the investment you are making? Are you a solid Christian? Are you a deeply rooted believer? Can you be easily moved by vogue in this world, storms of life? Are you someone that flows with things that trend? You know, those kind of things shows the weakness in your personality as a believer. Are you given to living right? Speaking right? Are you given? Do you
watch how you dress because of those who look up to you? Do you watch the relationships you keep? How you get married? Who you got married to? The kind of business you do? The kind of conduct that you do within the business? How you act in your office? Can we get to your office and say, I'm very confident Brother Nee will have a good report. I'm very confident Sister Gbemi will have a good report. Or your office, you are bad mannered, bad behaved, gossip. You flirt around the church. I mean, the office. Lose character. No. For the sake of those that you love, they are dear to you. So, in your conduct, dispositions, you always carry them on your heart. You have lives not just to teach, you have lives to change. And a life that will be changed can only be done by a life that has been changed. So what kind of investment are you making into your life such that it now becomes an investment, a worthy investment in other people's lives? I was saying the other day, how would a Christian, more so a minister, be impressionable? So any latest fashion trend will see it in you. Anything people are now doing, you'll be doing it. The world as such entered into your heart. No control over your impulses. No control over your appetite. No control over what you say, what you do, what you watch, and your disposition. Why are you so impressionable? You have lives to change. You have lives to lead. You must invest qualitatively and quantitatively into your life. You are not just to lead by teaching. You also lead by example. When they were going to choose Paul and Barnabas, they said there are men who have hazarded their lives for the sake of the gospel. We know. We know you. It's not just an example unto God. God is my witness. Paul says, you also are our witnesses. So what kind of investment are you making into your own ministry? What kind of investment are you making in the study of the word, in prayer, in your conduct, ensuring that you examine yourself on a regular basis? How am I today? How am I this month? How am I this year? Why are you doing it? It's not because of salvation. Well, it's because you are born again, no doubt. But it's because you know that you are investing the same thing into people. Would you love to see what you are doing in others? That is the kind of investment that you should be making into your life, so that you will make the same investment of your personality into others. Let's say a few things. Close today, we'll pick it up again at the Workers' Congress. One, try and start feeding on what you preach. Start feeding on what you preach. Start feeding on it. Meditate upon it. Act upon it. We'll get to that one, sorry. Feed upon it, one. Feed upon it. Feed upon it. Meditate upon it. Give yourself wholly unto them. 1 Timothy 4:15. That your prophecy may appear to all. Two, start to act on it. Such that when you are now preaching,
You are now not preaching a sermon. You are also preaching your life. Act on it. Act on it. Act on it. Number three. Examine yourself always in the light of what you teach. Examine yourself always in the light of what you teach. And finally, make corrections regularly. When you find yourself that you are no longer making corrections, you are no longer growing. Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, epanathosis. And obviously, that brings about spiritual growth, instruction unto righteousness. Padia A, diakusuni, unto righteousness. Don't start to feed on what you preach. I'm just saying feed on the word. Start to act upon it. Start to examine yourself in the light of it. You are not examining yourself in light of your culture, the light of the trending things, in the light of today's culture, today's viewpoints of people, how they feel at your workplace, how they feel in your college. You examine the light of what you believe, what you teach, and you correct yourself accordingly. Making the right investments into your life. I'll say this as I close. Are you growing? If you are not growing, those under you will not grow. Are you growing? Growth means that qualitatively you are stronger as a believer. You are firmer in your convictions. You are more stable in your persuasions and actions as touching the gospel. Growth is seen in stability. 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 Fervency. A deeper sense of conviction that is also seen in your action. That is who I am. You are not growing. Go ask my family. You are not growing. You are growing because you have made the right deposits to your life, and consequently, you can invest the same into others. Check these few things. The use of your time, the use of your emotions, the use of your resources. Time, emotions, that's feelings, thoughts, and your resources. Measure it in the light of the word. Let me put it another way. In the light of what you teach. And let's see how it goes. I would halt here and trust that next week or the week after, one of the two, we'll pick it up at the workers' conference. I would share something else. But this is for you because you are leaders. Amen. Don't forget it. You are investing into your personality every day. Such that your personality will be worth following. Will be worth looking up to. Will be worth emulating. You can talk like Paul. Follow me. 1 Corinthians 4:16. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me. Follow me. Like Jesus. Follow me. Matthew 4:19. Matthew 11:20-29. Follow me. Because you have a worthy personality that we can rely upon. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues.